Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Old Testament lesson for this day, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 through 11. To help you listen for the word guidance, maybe you should know what word is in the word guidance. It's not guide, it's dance. And interesting that Psalm I read, Psalm 30, talked about dancing. And when a guy and a gal go out and do ballroom dancing, the guy does the lead and the young lady does the following. What happens if the lady wants to lead? You step all over each other's toes. Well, see, life is like a dance. And God never promised us that we wouldn't have any difficulties in life. He never promised us that we would not have COVID-19. He didn't promise us that we wouldn't have money troubles. God promises us, I will be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way. Dance steps. So you take the word guidance, G-U-I, God, you and I dance. How about that? You see, God does the leading and we do the following. And in the hymn we just sang, it was in verse 2. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. And when you think about the book of Isaiah, how many chapters are in the book of Isaiah for you that study the Bible? 66. You probably could have done it in 6. But Isaiah likes to paint a picture and to get God's word across to God's people. So how many books are there in the Bible? 66. And interesting, then, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah is law. Well, there is some gospel in there, too. And so then you subtract 39 from 66, and you get what? 27. I always told the kids in confirmation, there's 3 letters in Old, 9 letters in Testament. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. And then you take New Testament, there's 3 letters in New, 9 letters in Testament. Well, that'd be too many. It'd be more than 66. But then you got to remember in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begins with the life of Christ. And in Greek, there is no CH. There's an X for the CH. And so you take 3 times 9, because those first 4 books begin with the life of Christ. 3 times 9 is 27. Thought that was an interesting note. Someone told me when I was a pastor in Sioux Falls, you're not a preacher. I'm not? No, you're a teacher, because your sermon is always trying to teach us something. Okay, I do have a BA in elementary education. I'll agree to that. And so as I was looking at these 2 verses, there's gospel in these 2 verses. And it's talking about a new wardrobe. And so my sermon theme for today has 5 points. The purpose of clothing. Point 2 is the world's first style show. Point three is God is not deceived. Point four is standing unashamed before God. And five, you have a new wardrobe is promised. I heard on the radio today on a Christian radio station I was coming to Rapid City that we're one day closer to Jesus coming back. So, we all have likes and dislikes when it comes to shopping for new clothes. I just want to read again Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11. It's a little bit different from what's printed in the bulletin, but it means the same. 10, I will find joy in the Lord. I will delight in my God. He has dressed me in the clothes of salvation. He has wrapped me in the robe of righteousness. Dressed, wrapped, past tense. It's already a done deal. Isaiah's prophesying that God is going to do it, but it's already a done deal. And verse, like a bridegroom with priest's turban, headdress, like a bride with her jewels, like the ground that brings forth its crops, and like a garden that makes the seed in it grow, so the Almighty Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up in front of all nations. This is our text. We have all kinds of likes and dislikes when it comes to shopping. How many like to go shopping? I don't. I go find the salesman that can help me and find what I need. But, for example, if a person serves on the board of directors with some great company, they're told clothing needs to be dressed. You need to be dressed for success. A pinstripe suit and everything that goes with it. Then there's the fashion designer, the model, the editor of a fashion magazine, each of them in his or her own way think about clothing differently. And all of us have to be somewhat interested in clothing simply as consumers. So what is the fashion statement for today, for 2020? When it comes to blue jeans or your shirt or blouse? Well, see the text for today. Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11, invites us to look at clothing from still another angle. What does God see when he looks at what you are wearing? What does God see? Point number one, purpose of clothing. Well, we wear clothing for protection. For cold weather or a hot tropical day, we wear different kinds of garments. There are people that wear specialized clothing like space suits for astronauts and diving suits for deep sea divers, masks and gloves for welders, shoes with steel plates that cover the toes when you're working in a factory, hard hats in construction zones, special glasses for loggers using chainsaws, ear protection of some kind. Another reason for wearing clothing is for decoration, like jewels or the watch that you wear. And we not only dress for compliments, we also dress in such a way to avoid shame. For example, when our zipper gets stuck, or when we come home from a dignified event and to discover to our embarrassment we have a split seam. Now, why didn't somebody have the courtesy to tell me? Or you get home and you have one color of shoe on one foot and you have another color on the other. That happens to some people, especially if they're dressing in the dark. We certainly dread being seen in ways we don't want to be seen. So we look back to the first style show. And where do we go to look for that? In the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis. Can you picture this? One evening, God took a stroll in the garden, and he knocked on Adam and Eve's door. They pretended they were not home, right? They hid behind some trees, hoping that God would give up and go away. They just weren't presentable, you see, not all prepared to have company over to their home right now. Because what? They had eaten from the forbidden tree. But God sees, and God knows everything. They were at home, so finally they had to come out. But when they did, they were covered with fig leaves, tied together. See, maybe they were thinking perhaps God would see them as they wanted to be seen, not as they really were. But if you're dressed in fig leaves, that means you get to go shopping to the mall again. God is not deceived. The very attempt that people make to impress God already reveals the guilt they are trying to cover up. However, what do we see? Well, when you read on in chapter 3, it says that God stripped Adam and Eve of their fig leaves and clothes out of the garments of skin were made by God. The shedding of innocent blood, a sign of forgiveness. Animals had to die in their place to have this new clothing. Ever wonder why Eve was tempted first? Men, you can't answer this one, or you'd be in the doghouse, I'm sure. Why did Eve get tempted by Satan first? What did the devil say to Eve? Did God really say? And so she gave the command perfectly. Except she added three words. Well, a few more than three. And you do not touch it. You have to go back to chapter 2. That was chapter 3. You have to go back to chapter 2 of Genesis. And God creates Adam. And then he says the command. Of every tree you may freely eat except. And then it says, it's not good for man to be alone. And then God creates Eve. Eve never heard the command from God. Adam told her the correct answer, but the devil created confusion and pride, and the rest is history. The glory of this new clothing that God creates for Adam and Eve does not lie in the fact that leather is more durable than leaves, nor that God is a wiser fashion designer than his two children. The point is that the only clothing in which a believer can stand unashamed before God is when he or she is clothed with the perfection of God's one and only Son. And we rejoice in gladness, because God has given us such a garment of salvation to each of us, and he's claimed each of us as his own when we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the climax of this text in Isaiah is in God's Son. What do you suppose is meant in these two verses? Like the ground that brings forth its crops and like a garden that makes the seed in it grow, so the Almighty Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up in front of all nations. Just as the soil brings forth green grass and those beautiful flowers, so surely God will make righteousness and praise. What does verse 10 and 11 mean? Verse 10 is talking about the Jews in the day of Isaiah. Jerusalem would be destroyed. The temple would be destroyed. And God's people would be led away into captivity. But in God's good timing, he would lead them back and he would return them to their homeland. And verse 11 says, and beyond that return, further into the future, the Messiah would come and proclaim the good news of God's plan of salvation. And all the words of chapter 61, as well as all the other prophecies, would then bloom into fulfillment. Have you ever thought of this on Good Friday? Jesus is crucified, and at ground level, the soldiers are doing what? Gambling. What are they gambling for? All of Jesus' clothing. And Jesus is up there nailed to the cross. In other words, this curse of nakedness before God is placed upon Jesus up there on the cross. And our divine shepherd is suffering the shame of all your sins and mine as well. The Lamb of God died for a world of sinners. And God then dresses us in our new Easter outfit, eternal clothing, the robe of righteousness, and declares, "It is finished. The debt is paid in full." And Jesus bowed his head and died. And when we wear the garment that God has provided us, it's as easy as the ABCs. A, there is no need to hide A anymore. Nor B, to be ashamed. And C, we know that God sees right through us, so there's no need to scurry around looking for the right fashion of fig leaves to put on. So what are we really confessing when we say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities"? We are in effect standing naked before God, stripped of all our glory, utterly exposed and defenseless. And then when we hear that all our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then we can be assured that we have a complete covering for our shame in the glory of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. What do we see and hear in the news today that is pretty sad? There's a world of sinners out there who still need to know and experience the kind of love and great joy that you and I have experienced from God. So what do we see in here out there? Many people are running away from God. Many people are not following his guidance in life. And many are still reaching for their fig leaves. However, God will not be deceived. Neither will he abandon the lost souls, for God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If God finds ways to expose people in their shame, he does it so that he may offer them and give them the garments of salvation. If the prophet Isaiah were standing here before us today, he would encourage us to be watchmen for our neighbors and lift high the cross. As verse 3 says in 837 of the hymnal, all newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. For, O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw us all to thee. Let every race and every language tell of him who saves our lives from death and hell. So shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. So, the bottom line is that through our witnessing to other people, we can share the stories that we have learned from the Bible. That we can witness to other people and invite them to come to Jesus. As Isaiah reminds us in our text, so the Almighty Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up in front of all nations. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. Amen.